people don't have to necessarily repent every single day, because people have not necessarily sinned every single day.
That's the voice of Pastor Ted Haggard. He is former president of the National Association of Evangelicals, with his thoughts on repentance. Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. Well, he brings up the subject, do people repent every day, or because they don't sin much every day? Is repentance an occasional thing, especially for the Christian? Most Christians, sadly, probably consider repentance an unbeliever's gig, right? That's what you preach to unbelievers so that they could repent and become Christians. Or that's what unbelievers do to become Christians. Repentance. Is repentance a part of the Christian life? We're going to answer those questions tonight as we talk about repentance with Dr. Carl Fikencher. Now, the phone lines are wide open tonight for your questions or your comments on repentance. Our call-in number, as usual, 1-800-730-2727, 1-800-730-2727, or if you prefer email, our in-studio email address is issuesetc@kfuo.org. Either way works very well. It's Sunday night, March the 11th, and everyone who calls in or sends us an email tonight will receive a free pamphlet titled Confession and Forgiveness, 1-800-730-2727, or issuesetc@kfuo.org. Our guest tonight to talk about repentance, Dr. Carl Fikencher, is a regular here on Issues Etc., Associate Professor of Pastoral Ministry and Missions at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Dr. Fikencher, welcome back.
Thank you, Todd. Great to be back.
This is Luther in the very first of his 95 theses, the document, as you know, that he posted on October 31st and began the Reformation. The first thesis reads, when our Lord and Master Jesus Christ said, repent, he willed that the entire life of believers be one of repentance. What is Luther saying here about repentance?
Well, he's saying that repentance is something that is a continuous thing in our lives. It is a receiving, first of all, recognizing our sinfulness, which of course is something under which we live all of our lives, and then at the same time also receiving constantly the forgiveness of sins that Jesus won for us on the cross. Luther actually touched on that really eloquently, I think, in the Small Catechism when he spoke about baptism. He asked the question, what does baptizing with water signify? And the way he answered it was this. It signifies that the old Adam, that is the sinful nature in us, should by daily contrition and repentance be drowned and die with all sins and evil lusts, and that a new man should daily emerge and arise to live before God in righteousness and purity forever. In other words, on a constant basis, every day, the believer is confessing his sin. He's recognizing that he is always in need of forgiveness, and he is struggling against that sin, but at the same time, always receiving the forgiveness of sins in Christ, and as a result of the assurance that he's been forgiven in Christ, he's also then enabled to struggle constantly against that sin. In the case of baptism, it's like struggling to dunk a beach ball down under the water, which a person can do, as you know, for just a couple of moments, but then that beach ball keeps bobbing up. You just can't hold it down forever, and then it's a matter of, once again, struggling against that beach ball to push it down under the water. The beach ball coming up again and again is our sinful nature that will always be with us. We're constantly repenting of the sin which is a part of us and struggling against it by the power of the good news that we have been forgiven in Christ. That's what repentance as a life is all about.
I understand that you preached this very morning on Luke chapter 13, beginning at verse 1, running through 9 or thereabouts, where Jesus himself discusses the issue and the necessity of repentance.
Yes, I did. This is the gospel reading for the third Sunday of Lent in our lectionaries, and I was preaching at a congregation using that lectionary, so this was a natural choice. And of course, Lent is certainly a time when we think about how our lives are to be lives of repentance. To summarize, and I'll quote a couple of verses and talk about it if you'd like, this is a passage where some Jews come to Jesus and they tell him about a heinous crime that Pontius Pilate, the Roman governor, had committed against the Jewish people by slaughtering a number of people from Galilee, from Jesus' own region, when they had come down to Jerusalem to offer sacrifices in the temple. We're not told what they had done wrong or what Pilate thought they had done wrong, but certainly the brutal way that he suppressed their actions was well known. The insinuation among those who came to Jesus was that those who had been killed in this way, these Galileans, must have been extremely wicked sinners to have this happen. This is actually a common misunderstanding among the Jews in Jesus' day. In, for example, John chapter 9, the disciples themselves asked Jesus about a man who had been born blind, whether he, even before he was born, had committed some particularly terrible sin, or perhaps if his parents had committed some terrible sin so that he was born this way. And Jesus says in that case, in John chapter 9, that's not the way God works at all. Well, here in Luke chapter 13, when these Jews come to Jesus talking about those Galileans, Jesus replies, he says, "Do you think that those Galileans were more sinful than all other Galileans because they suffered this fate? I tell you, no, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish." Jesus is saying to them, you know, you may think that those guys needed to repent because they were terrible sinners. But the fact of the matter is, if you look at yourself, you're just as sinful, even if you haven't done something that has been answered by the Roman governor with execution, even if you haven't done something that your fellow Jews would consider to be particularly wicked. Jesus is really saying to all of us that we are in constant need of repentance. In the sermon, I actually raised some of the things that one might see in others as being sinful, and then asked the question, do you think this describes you? Does this describe each one of us? And you know, our temptation might be to say, well, you know, the kinds of things that perhaps Pilate had done in his violence, or even the kinds of things that we might see others doing that seem to deserve immediate punishment from the Lord, we might not see in ourselves. But then, and of course in the sermon, I'm the only one talking, but I answer my own question eventually and say, the fact is, if we look at others and say they are in need of repentance, and see ourselves as being innocent, as not needing repentance, well, that's the very sin that Jesus is talking about here. And Jesus says to us then, unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. Now that, of course, was just the law in the text, and we had gospel in the sermon as well. It comes from later on in the text.
Real quickly, before we go to this break, picking up on something you just said, someone might say, well, okay, what Jesus is teaching there is God forgives us because we repent. Is that how it works?
No, not really at all. That's a misunderstanding because it, in effect, makes repentance a work that we do that somehow earns our forgiveness. Protestants all confess that we're not saved by what we do, but by faith in Christ Jesus, and we would like to hold to that, but sometimes it certainly is people who would confess those very words, that we're not saved by works, but by God's grace, who nevertheless would say that God's forgiveness to us is somehow conditional upon our repentance, which does precisely contradict that idea. It really does make repentance a kind of a work. Repentance, instead, is contrition, being sorry for what we have done, and in a narrow sense, then is separate from faith in the gospel. In the wider sense, it also includes the faith in Christ Jesus that the Holy Spirit works in us. We might talk about that a little bit more this evening, if
you
like.
All right, we will, right after this break. Is it God's work or man's work, repentance? I want to hear from you on the issue of repentance. Do you think that repentance is primarily for the unbeliever? Is repentance only for the really big ticket sins like adultery or murder or theft? Do you repent daily? Our phone number, 1-800-730-2727, 1-800-730-2727. Our in-studio email address is issuesetc@kfuo.org, and we're giving away a free pamphlet to our emailers and our callers called Confession and Absolution to anyone who calls in or emails us tonight, 1-800-730-2727, or issuesetc@kfuo.org. We're talking with Dr. Carl Fikincher, Associate Professor of Pastoral Ministry and Missions at Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, about repentance. This break is a great time to call. When we come back, we'll delve a little deeper into the question, repentance, is it man's work or God's? One of the best ways that children learn is through verse and rhyme. Those kind of things stick in their heads. It's also true of the truths of the Christian faith. Our Issues, Etc. Book of the Month for March is a children's book set in verse and rhyme by Dandy Daly Mackle. It's called Easter is for Me. It tells the story of Jesus' sacrificial death for sinners and his resurrection from the dead for sinners. It's called Easter is for Me. It's the Issues, Etc. Book of the Month for March. Find out more at our website, issuesetc.org. You'll find the book on our homepage. Or call Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040, and ask about the Issues, Etc. Book of the Month for March. It's a children's book called Easter is for Me. 1-800-325-3040 or issuesetc.org.
For sinners only, you're listening to Issues, Etc.
Dr. Rod Rosenblatt, co-host of the national radio show The White Horse Inn, on the importance of Issues, Etc.
Issues, Etc. presents Jesus Christ and His saving work out of the text of the Bible. The teaching of Christ alone is the driving force of this program. It deals with the important issues of our time with carefully chosen guests, and hosts who are knowledgeable in the scriptures, history, and their application. On Issues, Etc., you will not hear pop evangelicalism, but confessional Lutheran theology fluently presented.
You can support the worldwide outreach of Issues, Etc. by making a tax-deductible gift this week. Our address is Post Office Box 9360, St. Louis, Missouri, 63117. Or you can make a credit card donation by calling our resource line at 1-800-737-0172. That's 1-800-737-0172.
Can you believe it? Easter is just 4 weeks from today. If you're looking for an Easter gift for a young child, godchild, grandchild, check out the Issues, Etc. Book of the Month for March. It's called Easter is for Me. It's a children's book. Now, you can browse before you buy at our website, issuesetc.org, or you can order Easter is for Me by calling Concordia Publishing House, their number 1-800-325-3040. The book is $14.99 plus shipping and handling, 1-800-325-3040. Easter is for Me by Dandy Daly Mackle. It's the Issues, Etc. Book of the Month for March. The number again, 1-800-325-3040. Talking about repentance tonight with Dr. Carl Fikincher. Dr. Fikincher, you said something before the break that God does not forgive us because we repent. That view runs contrary to Scripture and turns repentance into man's work. So is repentance man's work or God's?
Well, definitely it is a work that the Holy Spirit brings about in us through the law and the gospel. And I think actually one place that makes this really very clear is also in the text for this morning. After that first part of the text, the first few verses of Luke chapter 13, where Jesus twice actually tells those who've gathered around him that unless they repent, they will all likewise perish. Then he goes on to tell a parable to illustrate the point that he's been making. And let me go ahead and just read that parable. It's not very long. It's this. Jesus says, a certain man had a fig tree which had been planted in his vineyard, and he came looking for fruit on it and did not find any. And he said to the vineyard keeper, behold, for 3 years I have come looking for fruit on this fig tree without finding any. Cut it down. Why does it even use up the ground? And the vineyard keeper answered and said to him, Let it alone, sir, for this year too, until I dig around it and put in fertilizer. If it bears fruit next year, fine. But if not, cut it down. This is really the place that the gospel comes out in this text. Jesus has been very firm, very emphatic in telling us that we are all sinners, that we all must repent. But here, Jesus says, there's more to it than something we would just do. Our repentance itself, our simply turning away from sin, could in itself never also redeem us. But in the parable, the vineyard keeper has this gracious word when he says to the owner of the vineyard, let the tree alone, sir, for a little bit longer, while in effect I do everything that I can do. This is really a beautiful picture of Christ, the vineyard keeper, pleading with God the Father, the vineyard owner, on our behalf, pleading our case for us based on what he himself will do. And of course, what Jesus does when he, as the vineyard keeper says, he will do everything for us, is himself go to the tree of the cross and take upon himself all of the punishment for our sin, and then also that he himself produces the perfect fruit of love and obedience that the Heavenly Father demands. Repentance is not something that we are able to present to God as something we have done, but rather repentance is, as I said before, being sorry for our sins, and then in the wide sense, receiving what Christ has done for us on the cross, the forgiveness of all of our sins. And as we are incorporated in Christ, then the perfect works of Christ are counted by God as our fruit, as if we had done them, when in fact it was, of course, Christ who did them for us.
Someone listening says, sure, you preach repentance to unbelievers. Repentance is primarily for the unbeliever when they become a Christian. How would you respond?
Well, it's definitely for an unbeliever, and it's equally for the Christian. Again, as Jesus says here in this parable, he's talking to those who are gathered around him and making very clear that if we think we have nothing to repent of, that's the very sin he's talking about. For the believer, as we look at our lives every day in the light of God's law, we see that we are constantly falling short. You know, we might try to reduce the Ten Commandments to a list that has become manageable by saying, for example, we haven't actually murdered anyone physically. But if we look and see the way Jesus himself summarizes the Ten Commandments, love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your strength, and love your neighbor as yourself, we realize that we have simply failed to do that constantly. We are constantly putting other things ahead of God. We are certainly often loving ourselves much more than we care for our neighbor. And as long as that continues to be the case, there continues to be a need on our part to repent.
Well, now, someone might say, Dr. Vikancher, well, that's probably because they didn't really repent in the first place. If they keep having that kind of trouble and struggle with sin, if you really repented and really nailed it, you wouldn't need to do that, much less repent every day.
Well, then we'd probably call on St. Paul in Romans chapter 7, wouldn't we, where Paul, the great apostle, says that he is constantly struggling with his sin. The good that he wishes to do, he's not doing. The evil that he hates, that's what he just keeps on doing. And Paul realizes that he himself, as one of the chosen apostles of the Lord, continues to and will continue to struggle against sin constantly. Paul himself was constantly repenting. He calls himself the chief of sinners and realizes that he was always in need of God's grace to cover the sins for which he continued to be guilty. And that's the same situation for each one of us.
Another idea common among Christians about repentance is, and it's similar to the ones we've been discussing here, that repentance is really for the big ticket items, for the big sins, murder, theft, adultery. It's the prime examples from kind of the Christian media, Ted Haggard most recently,
right.
Jim Baker, Jimmy Swaggart. That's the time for repentance, for the big backslidden moments. How would you respond?
Well, that's certainly a time for repentance, as is every other day of our lives. When I addressed the congregation this morning, I was actually a guest. I didn't know the congregation intimately. I didn't know that there were particular sins of which particular members were guilty. I didn't know that there were secret adulteries going on. I didn't know that anyone was defrauding his employees at work or anything of the kind. And yet, as we worked through the text together, we found it applied to each one of us, even without knowing any particular sin, because all of us are indeed guilty of sins that need repentance, and we are also beyond the actual sins, that would be the things we've done or failed to do. We all stand constantly in our sinful natures, also in need of repentance. In Romans chapter 7, what Paul is really doing is not in particular talking about some major, as you put it very well, big ticket items that people would see and point to in him. In fact, those who had come to faith by his preaching and known him well would probably have held him up as being exemplary. Paul himself even offers himself as an example. And yet what Paul's really talking about is the old sinful nature, as Luther said in the quotation we gave earlier, the old Adam in us, that old man in us, that old sinful nature that is constantly rearing his ugly head, that adheres to us as long as we're here on earth. The believer in us is confessing and repenting of the wickedness of that old sinful nature that is in there too. And the believer in us is always crying out in a kind of agony, at least that's the way Paul seems to describe it in Romans chapter 7, that sinful nature is still in there. And so then, of course, the new man, the new woman inside us is also rejoicing constantly that we are forgiven for that for the sake of Christ Jesus. No, it's something that is a necessity and a part of us every day of our lives, a big ticket item or small.
We're talking with Dr. Carl Fikencher about repentance. He's Associate Professor of Pastoral Ministry and Missions at Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana. As we continue our conversation on repentance, you can find several resources on that issue under the What's New section of our website, issuesetc.org, issuesetc.org. Our call-in number, this break is a great time to call, 1-800-730-2727, 1-800-730-2727, and our in-studio email address, issuesetc@kfuo.org. Our callers and our emailers tonight are getting a free pamphlet called Confession and Absolution as we talk about repentance, 1-800-730-2727 or issuesetc@kfuo.org. We'll be right back. Dr. Arthur Just on what a young man will find every summer at Christ Academy at Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana.
It really does put him in touch with, first of all, a community of people here who love the Scriptures, who worship together, who pray together, and who enjoy, have fun, you know, doing theology. There's just a wonderful excitement and passion for the gospel that is expressed by them. But it is a way of a young man to shape his identity as one who is in Christ and to learn the Scriptures and have a real passion for the gospel.
For more information about Christ Academy, June 17th through the 30th at Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, go to our website, issuesetc.org, issuesetc.org, or call Concordia Theological Seminary, 1-800-481-2155. 1-800-481-2155.
The radio voice of the Lutheran faith for the 21st century. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Issues, Etc. relies on a small group of faithful supporters called the Issues, Etc. Reformation Club. These people have pledged to become monthly or annual contributors to Issues, Etc. This allows us to budget our expenses more efficiently. Now, there are four levels of giving. The confessor, $25 monthly or an annual gift of $250. The apologist, $50 monthly or an annual gift of $500. The reformer, $100 monthly or an annual gift of $1,000. And our new level, the patron, $200 monthly or an annual gift of $2,000. Now each Reformation Club member receives premiums like monthly tapes, books, and transcripts. You can join the Issues Etc. Reformation Club by credit card, our resource line number 1-800-737-0172, or online, issuesetc.org. The Issues Etc. Reformation Club.
Dr. Carl Fakencher of Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana, on good reasons to become a pastor.
Before I went to the seminary, I worked in business for a number of years, and I enjoyed very much what I was doing, but I realized that the aspects of my jobs that I appreciated the most certainly were the opportunities to be helpful and encouraging and supportive of the people who worked with me. And it was quite clear to me, without any question, that the way I could be most helpful to them was sharing the good news of Jesus Christ, their Savior. And I realized that if I became a pastor, that would be what I'd do all the time, and I would never be restricted in any way in what I could say. The help that I could bring to people that I cared about would be the help that was not just for today or tomorrow, but eternal.
To schedule an on-campus visit at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana, call 1-800-481-2155.
Your show spews nothing but hatred. Who died and left you guys in charge? God's going to deal with you for your much ignorance.
I really like your program. I listen to it every Sunday. Thank you for letting me listen to you guys.
Well, those are two very different responses from Issues Etc. listeners. We want to hear your response, negative or positive, to any Issues Etc. subject, past or present. Just call the Issues Etc. listener comment line. It's brand new, and it's waiting for your comment. 314-505-7825, 314-505-7825. Love us, hate us, agree or disagree, it's all good. 314-505-7825. Leave your comments anonymously on the Issues Etc. listener comment line, 314-505-7825. Call today. Welcome back to Issues Etc. 25 minutes in our first hour. Here's conversation with on repentance with Dr. Carl Fakencher. We're talking with him. He's Associate Professor of Pastoral Ministry and Missions at Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana. And with you, your phone calls and your emails are always welcome, 1-800-730-2727, or our in-studio email address, issuesetc@kfuo.org. And we'll get to the phones in just a second. Dr. Fakencher, Concordia Theological Seminary has an open spring invitational visit coming up March 22nd through the 24th. Briefly, why should a man consider responding to this invitation and visiting Concordia Theological Seminary?
Well, our campus invitational visits really are some of the highlights of the year for us and the faculty, I know. We delight in getting to meet the men and their wives when they come to see us. I think the opportunity is wonderful if someone is even remotely considering the possibility of the ministry. Not only do they get to visit with the people that would be their professors, and also many who would also be students with them, and get to see the campus and get to look around the community in Fort Wayne and see what housing would be like and all of those very practical things, but it also gives them a taste, particularly when they join us for worship, of what life in the seminary community is, and it gives us a beginning of a taste for how life in the office of the ministry would be. Our life on campus is so much gathered around what we do in worship, and a highlight, of course, for almost all of our guests is to come and sing the great hymns in our beautiful chapel, to hear outstanding preaching of God's Word, and recognize that as a man is called into the ministry, he gets to live that opportunity in a parish that he would serve with people that would be entrusted to him for his entire career. It's a great opportunity to get that taste.
Well, for more information about the spring invitational visit to Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, call them toll-free, 1-800-481-2155, 1-800-481-2155, or look for information on the spring invitational visit March the 22nd through the 24th at our homepage, issuesetc.org. Let's go to the phones now, where Nate is patiently waiting in Chicago, listening on WYLL. Hi, Nate.
Hi, how are you?
Very well.
I was listening to what the pastor said about repentance, but I disagree with some of the things that he said. When it comes to repentance, all of us, whether we're saved or sinners, are required to repent for our sins. Now, the truth about repentance is a solemn vow between us and God, asking for forgiveness.
All right, Nate, thank you very much. Would you talk about, would you consider repentance a solemn vow, Dr. Ficanci?
Well, I would not say that I've ever used the term quite that way, but of course there's no question that when one repents of his sins, whether it is something that, and perhaps our caller, perhaps Nate, was thinking of something that is perhaps very conscious and vocalized, but whether it is indeed conscious and vocalized, or whether it is just the constant repenting going on in the heart, it certainly is something that is solemn indeed, and it certainly is a commitment that the believer is making to God on a continuous basis to live the life that God has given him and created for him. That particular language is not the language that I ordinarily choose, but it certainly is true that the believer in us is constantly confessing sin to God in a very, very solemn way, is constantly admitting guilt, and is also constantly turning away from sin and receiving Christ's forgiveness. So I'm not sure exactly what the point of disagreement would be that Nate has with what we've said. I'd love to talk to him further and clarify other positions he might have.
I got a question on that, but I'll save it for later on the whole issue of repentance as a vow. First, let's talk with Jerry in St. Paul, Minnesota, listening on KKMS. Hi, Jerry.
Hi, how are you?
Very well.
Thank you so much for taking my call. I think this topic on repentance is something that is not discussed enough. Here's my question. I guess it's, might be take a little while to get to the question here exactly, but I know for me, I came to have a personal testimony of Jesus Christ when I was taught about repentance, and prior to that, I believed in Jesus Christ, but I never really felt that I needed to repent. And I don't know if it's just it was luck or what it would be, the Holy Spirit, but I was lucky enough to have learned about repentance. And once I did repent and felt a godly sorrow for what I had done, it seems like repentance is something that I absolutely necessarily need to do every day. But my question is this: what can I do to help others come to that point where they really see a need? I mean, for me, I almost feel as if I was just lucky, like I was lucky enough to stumble upon repentance. What can I do to help others know that they have a need to repent and feel a godly sorrow and actually come unto Christ that way and know that they need to follow him by a true repentance? What tools do you have that you can tell people to use to do that?
All right, Jerry, it's a good question. Thank you very much for the call and the question, Dr. Ficanci.
Yes, it is a good question. I appreciate that, Jerry. First of all, I'd say, though I don't know your particular case, I'm confident it was something quite beyond luck that this came about. And I do think we have a magnificent tool to assist all of those that we would encounter in showing them a need for the Savior and forgiveness of sins. And, of course, that is the law that we often talk about. In fact, that I talk about on Issues, Etc. quite frequently. That in God's Word, in the Holy Scriptures, which show us what God expects of us, show us the commands that God places upon us, obviously summarized very well in the Ten Commandments. In all of the words of Holy Scripture that speak to us of our obligation, those are always serving the purpose, the Holy Spirit's purpose, of bringing us to see our sinfulness. To say that we need to repent is really nothing other than to say that we recognize we fall short of the glory of God, that we have sinned and offended against God. Then, of course, when a person realizes that he is guilty, that he stands under God's condemnation, that is the time when the gospel, which is also, of course, the Word of God in Holy Scripture, assures us that because of Christ Jesus' death and resurrection, we have been forgiven of our sins. It's not as if, and this is an important clarification, it's not as if repentance is something that must consist first of a time of struggle, a lengthy period of self-examination, certainly not a time in which we first have to somehow reform or get our act together or get our hearts straight with God.
It's not probation.
That's right, exactly. But as soon as we recognize that we are sinners and desperate and can't save ourselves, already at that moment, it's a time for someone, a friend, our pastor, whomever, to share with us the other great tool, the tool of the gospel, that gives us that forgiveness of sins. Repentance, in the sense of contrition, godly sorrow, as Jerry put it, and as the scriptures themselves put it, is something that can take place instantaneously when the law is proclaimed to us, and then immediately make a person ready to hear the forgiveness of sins.
Jeff Coles from McKinney, Texas. Jeff, thank you for being patient. Welcome to Issues, Etc. Jeff, welcome.
Dr. Fakincher, I think that we as Christians in the church and even in the world at large have a real task in front of us to even create the categories that you're talking about, that our notion of law is so relativized that we tend to think that there's nothing that's really worthy of repentance. I would just like to ask you to comment on that, and I would also like just to make an admonition to pastors that you don't need to say in your sermon, I don't know if you're like this, but this is me. That is how we are, and that's why we need to hear this sermon.
Okay, thank you very much, Jeff. I appreciate that. Deal with both of those issues,
sure.
Especially the one about equivocating on people's sinfulness.
Yes. Well, I think Jeff...
Oh, you've only got a minute before this
okay,
break.
Okay, I think Jeff makes a great point there, because it certainly is true, and you touched on this already in the beginning, Todd, that we think of repentance as being required by big-ticket items, and most people today will recognize that there are some people out there who are sinners, who really need to repent, and probably even are considered to be beyond repentance, but... on the other hand, so many things of a moral nature, so many things that relate to concern for our neighbor, the person around us, are indeed so relativized that real sin requiring real repentance is not really appreciated by any means. This, of course, though, again, is what Jesus was getting at precisely in our text this morning in Luke chapter 13. He was talking to people who felt that other people needed to repent, and twice in the text he looks them in the eye and says, unless you repent, you will likewise perish.
Let's pick up on that on the other side of the break, give you a chance to answer the rest of Jeff's question. We're talking about repentance. Dr. Carl Fakincher is our guest, Associate Professor of Pastoral Ministry and Missions at Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana. Folks, please remember that Issues Etc. is listener-supported. That means that we rely entirely upon you for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Please consider making a gift to Issues Etc. during the Lenten and Easter seasons. Any size gift is deeply appreciated. And in return, we'll send you a 2-hour CD with Dr. Norman Nagel on the Passion of Christ and Dr. Arthur Just on the Resurrection of Christ. Now, you can donate by check. Write us, Issues Etc., Box 9360, St. Louis, Missouri, 63117. By credit card, our resource line number is 1-800-737-0172, 1-800-737-0172, or you can always donate online at our website, issuesetc.org. Theology for Mercy. What does it mean to be a Lutheran in social ministry? The church is a mercy place. Theological reflections on confessional Lutheran involvement in neighborhood renewal. These are just some of the free resources offered by LCMS World Relief. You can get your copy of these booklets and more resources by calling LCMS World Relief, 1-800-248-1930, and ask for LCMS World Relief. Or just look for the LCMS World Relief logo at our homepage, issuesetc.org. an international relief agency concerned with both body and soul, LCMS World Relief. For free resources, call 1-800-248-1930 and ask for LCMS World Relief. They'll not only send you free booklets, but also a free video called Making a World of Difference and Pastor Matt Harrison's Sharing and Caring newsletters. 1-800-248-1930, LCMS World Relief.
It's not about you. It's about Jesus for you. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Martin Luther once called the doctrine of justification the doctrine by which the church stands or falls. What is the central nature of this teaching? And why is it so important? Here's Issues, Etc. regular guest, Dr. Lawrence White of Our Savior Lutheran Church in Houston, Texas.
Paul articulates for us more clearly than anywhere else in Scripture that great biblical doctrine of justification, that as the sinner stands before the righteous judge, he is declared to be not guilty because of that which Christ has done for us. When God the judge looks on us, he sees not our sins, not our failures and our flaws, but the pure white robe of Christ's righteousness. And we are declared to be justified, not guilty, because of that which Christ has done for us.
Issues, Etc., the radio voice of the Lutheran faith for the 21st century.
Well, Pastor Matt Harrison, Executive Director of LCMS World Relief, invites you to attend the LCMS Conference on Mercy. It's going to be April the 30th through May the 2nd here in St. Louis. Speakers include Pastor Matt Harrison, Tim Gagline, who serves as Special Assistant to President George W. Bush, and an evening of entertainment with Max Jazz recording artist Aaron Bodie. And we'll be there broadcasting live as well. Now, for more information, just look for the LCMS Conference on Mercy logo at our homepage, issuesetc.org. It's the LCMS Conference on Mercy, April the 30th through May the 2nd, right here in St. Louis. Before we go back to the phones, Dr. Fekencher, Jeff, I believe it was, had a second part to his question, and it had to do with what I would call preachers who equivocate on sin. And he typified it by saying preachers who stand there and say, well, I don't know if you're like me, but what are your thoughts there?
Well, that certainly would not be typical of Scripture, not only in the gospel reading that we've referred to a number of times from this morning, but we think, for example, of Peter's sermon in Acts chapter 3, when he looks at the crowd in Jerusalem and he says, you killed the Prince of Life. And in that sermon, for example, he uses that second person, you, very emphatically. He looks them in the eye and tells them exactly what's going on. And that's typical, actually, of the preaching throughout the book of Acts. A number of sermons by Peter, a number of sermons by Paul, very, very direct. And this is, of course, the way God, through his prophets in the Old Testament as well, consistently has addressed us. Beautifully, sweetly with the gospel, no doubt, but always as a result of the sinfulness on our part that needs the gospel. And so I think a pastor, as Jeff suggested, needs to step into the pulpit with the same confidence to speak God's word of the law as he will joyfully speak the word of the gospel from the very same pulpit.
And I will point out, to pick up on using Scripture's way of preaching the law and the gospel, a preacher who won't use the pronouns you and I when he preaches the law can hardly justify using those pronouns when he preaches the gospel.
That's right.
It's you and I for both law and gospel. Ben calls from Topeka, Kansas, and he listens on KCVT. Hi, Ben. Ben, welcome.
Hi, Pastor Todd and Dr. Fekencher. First off, I did want to comment on the idea of a solemn oath. It seems to me that our solemn oath, if it's us to God making the oath, is worth nothing without the help of the Holy Spirit. But my actual question is that when we talk about repentance, the flip side of that is forgiveness. And, you know, when I was baptized as an infant, all my sins were forgiven, even though it was going into the future. And yet, through my life as a Christian, I continually go back to God in repentance, asking for forgiveness. And I was kind of wondering, I don't have a problem with that. In fact, it brings me a lot of joy in my life. But I wonder why I do that when I'm already forgiven and have repented for all my sins at that time
my
birth.
That is a great question. Thank you very much, and thanks for listening in Topeka. Dr. Fakanger.
That is a marvelous observation, Ben. That is so very, very true. That, of course, brings us back to that reality that clings to us, that we are sinner and saint at the same time. Not only does that mean that we are sinless, sainted, made holy by the forgiveness of Christ, but also that we struggle against the resistance of the unbeliever so that our faith is never as strong as we wish it were. It's absolutely right, as you said, Ben, when we were baptized, all sins for our entire lives were indeed taken away. And, of course, God gave us that magnificent gift in baptism. But it's no coincidence that God also gave us the institution of the Office of the Holy Ministry for constant preaching, which includes the constant absolution, forgiving of sins, and also the Lord's Supper that we receive again and again and again. Why? Because God knew, even though we were absolved in His eyes once and for all in our baptisms, we ourselves struggle against unbelief. Satan is constantly whispering in our ear that our sins are too great to be washed away in something as simple as infant baptism, that they are too great to be forgiven once and for all by the bread and wine that we received as the body and blood of Christ last week. And certainly Satan is suggesting to us constantly that when Pastor says, "I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit," that our sins could not possibly be applied here, but only the sins of those around us who are better than we. We struggle with that kind of unbelief constantly, and God knew that we would need to have that assurance of forgiveness again and again and again. Well, it's that need for assurance of forgiveness that we're talking about here when we talk about the need to be repenting constantly. And that's a marvelous point that describes our lives very accurately.
One more caller here in our remaining time, Jerry from Minneapolis, listening on KKMS. Hi, Jerry.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. One comment and a question. Comment would be the Spirit has definitely been working to see that we need to walk in a spirit of repentance. So the question, two questions actually. One would be the fruit that it talks about worthy of repentance. Would that be the fruit that the Holy Spirit, love, joy, peace. And another question would be, how do we practically keep in mind to walk in the spirit of repentance?
Two great questions. Thank you very much, Jerry. Okay, first one, what is the fruit befitting repentance, as John the Baptist would say?
Right. Well, it's the comparison that Jerry makes there between the fruits of the Spirit that Paul talks about in Galatians and the fruit of repentance that John, for example, mentions in his ministry, may be seen as walking hand in hand. The fact is, exegetically, in the Scriptures themselves, they're not set as synonymous. However, what John was talking about, what John the Baptist was speaking about when he said, bring forth fruits in keeping with repentance, they certainly are any number of ways that a new life would be typified with love of God, love of neighbor, carried out in a variety of ways. When Paul in Galatians chapter 5 talks about the fruit of the Spirit, and he talks about love, joy, peace, patience, and so on, although he is not making the direct connection, those things that are examples of love and joy, peace, patience, and so on, certainly are examples of the sorts of things that typify the new life of repentance.
And then with just a few seconds, his second question has to do, how do we walk, as he said, in the spirit of repentance? Only 30 seconds.
Well, this is certainly a matter of hearing and receiving God's means of grace constantly. To remain in this spirit of repentance requires being constantly reminded of our sin by the law, as we said earlier, and also being strengthened constantly by the gospel so that we are enabled to set aside our sin, turn away from our sin, given the Holy Spirit's power to live that new life. And so it really is that simple matter of receiving God's means of grace, word and sacrament on a continuous basis.
And then finally, again with only 30 seconds, someone says, well, I know what this is all about. It's about the depth of my sorrow. It's about the depth of my feeling when I repent. Is repentance just feeling really sorry for your sin?
No, and in fact, it isn't always even typified by particular feelings. Certainly, we may have days when we are very painfully, even emotionally, aware of how we have offended against God. Other times, it's not something as emotional or even conscious as that. But the believer in us constantly recognizes our sinfulness, even if we're not bringing it to the emotional surface, shall we say, and repenting on an ongoing basis as well.
1-800-737-0172 is the phone number for our resource line. You can use that number to request a free complimentary copy of our Next Issues Etc. journal. You can also use that number to make a tax-deductible gift to Issues Etc. 1-800-737-0172. And as a way of saying thanks, we'll send you a two-hour CD on the Passion and the Resurrection of Jesus Christ. You can also donate by check. Our address, Issues Etc., Box 9360, St. Louis, Missouri, 63117. Remember, no gift is too small. Box 9360, St. Louis, Missouri, 63117. If you take away one thing from this hour's conversation on repentance, take this away. Repentance is not your work. Yes, there is the command to repent. And like all commands that God gives to us sinners, we can't keep it. It's part of our problem. When Jesus commands us to repent, you know what the proper Christian response is? I repent that I cannot, that I don't even want to. Repentance is God's gift to us sinners, to you and to me. It is God's gift to us sinners because it is something we cannot produce, but God produces it. It is His work, and He works it in us for the purpose of giving us the greatest gift of all. And that is the perfect righteousness, the perfect sinless life, the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. God does not forgive us because we repent. No, we repent because God forgives us solely for Christ's sake. And do you know what? That's what the Christian life looks like. That's what Luther meant when he said that the whole life of the Christian ought to be one of repentance and the forgiveness that is ours in Christ alone. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc.
Listen each week to Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is critical for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our address is 85 Founders Lane, St. Louis, Missouri, 63105. You can donate by credit card on our resource line, 1-800-737-0172, 1-800-737-0172. For a free audio copy of this hour of Issues Etc., please visit the audio archive section at kfuo.org. Opinions expressed are not necessarily those of Worldwide KFUO. Issues Etc. is a broadcast service of the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod.
If you enjoy listening to Issues Etc. on the weekends, did you know that you can listen to 12 new hours of Issues Etc. each week on the Internet? All you have to do is go to our website, issuesetc.org, click the Worldwide KFUO logo, and there you can listen to Issues Etc. 24/7, including 12 new programs weekly. The website address again, issuesetc.org.
Issues Etc. is a broadcast service of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. However, we are not funded by the church body. We're also not affiliated with Lutheran Hour Ministries or the Lutheran Layman's League. Issues Etc. is supported by listeners like you. Please help support this worldwide outreach by making a gift this week. Our address, Issues Etc., Box 9360, St. Louis, Missouri, 63117. Thanks for your prayerful consideration.